Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Hello again, everyone. We count it a great privilege to be here with you this morning, and we're thankful for every opportunity that the Lord gives us to speak a little bit from His Word. Before we get started this morning, I want to extend an invitation for you to come and worship with us at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. We're located about 20 miles west of Jacksonville, and if you're familiar with Interstate 10, we're just several miles north of Interstate 10. So if you're in our area this morning, please come out and worship with us. We begin our services at 10:30, and we would be thrilled to have you. I also want to announce coming up in June, the weekend surrounding the second weekend in June, we will be once again hosting our annual meeting, and this is of particular blessing to us because due to COVID, we were unable to hold these services last year. So those services will begin Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, and at that time, our church will observe the sacred institution of communion, where we gather together to remember the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you're not a member of the church, you can observe that, and I would encourage you to do so. It's one of the two ordinances that the Lord has given His church. And then we'll begin Friday, June the 11th at 7 o'clock with our worship services, and we're expecting guest ministers to be with us throughout the whole weekend, but we'll start at 7 o'clock on Friday evening. And then we will resume Saturday, June the 12th at 10:30 in the morning, and we'll have services that morning. We will have a lunchtime fellowship and then services that afternoon. And usually we have some kind of fellowship that evening as well. So we'd be thrilled to have you, and obviously we'll have our services on Sunday morning, June the 13th. And we are very excited, again, to be having these services because we've not had this privilege for many, many months now due to the effects of the COVID virus. This morning, I want you to pray for me as we continue to look at God's Word and want to continue looking at the question that I started last Sunday, the question as to whether or not is God concerned with the details of our lives. And last Sunday, we looked at our particular lives and tried to answer the question from God's Word about whether or not He was concerned about the details of my life and the details of your life. Does God care about the little things that go on in my life? And we noted that, yes, indeed, based off of God's Word, He does. Remember in Psalm 56, we noted that the psalmist David says that we serve the God that puts our tears into a bottle. He puts our tears into His book. Yes, indeed, He is concerned with every detail of our lives. Jesus said, remember in Luke chapter 12, that there are not five sparrows that are sold for two farthings without God knowing it. And He parallels the knowledge of God towards these little sparrows with the hairs on our head. He knows every hair on our head. And then we concluded in the Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says to His disciples, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. And He says we're to not be overly concerned about these things because our Heavenly Father knows that we have needs of those things. Our God that feeds the birds, our God that causes the flowers to bloom, knows what we stand in need of. And isn't that a wonderful blessing to know? God is concerned with the details of our lives. Well, this morning I want us to look at the other side of the coin, and maybe it's best for us to ask the question this morning, is God concerned that we adhere to the details of His book? Again, if God is concerned with the details of our lives, we have to ask the question, is God concerned with us keeping the details of His book? And particularly this morning, I want us to look at our approach to God, our worldview as far as the commandments of God, as far as the details that God has given us in His book, as far as how we're to serve Him and how we're to worship Him. Right off the bat, I want us to understand that we live in a time where many people believe that there is indeed a God or a quote-unquote divine being out there, but really He's not overly concerned with how we approach Him or how we worship Him. Much of our society today is governed by relativism. This is the idea that there is no absolute truth. The philosophy of moral relativism says that what's right for me may not be the same for you. That every one of us have to construct our own morality, our own value system, and there can be great variation in that. And I'm afraid that that philosophy has also been embraced by many people in Christian circles, and the Word of God has been relegated in many instances to just a book of suggestions, if that. A lot of critics of the Word of God will say, well, it had some value in times past, but in the modern times that we're living in today, we have to adjust and adapt to our cultures, to our societies, to just really the changing beliefs and changing actions of man. Well, essentially, this idea says that God is not really concerned with the details as far as us following His Word. Well, I want us to look at God's Word this morning and again try to answer that question from the perspective of obedience and following God and ask ourselves, again, the question, is God concerned with the details as far as how we approach Him? Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And while you're turning there, just for a little bit of context, this is an interesting time in the history of the children of Israel. The ark had been removed from Israel, and you'll remember during the time of Saul, the ark was taken out and really used as a talisman, as some sort of device to try to earn God's favor as the children of Israel were out fighting against the Philistines. And this was done during a time of great apostasy in the nation of Israel, and they weren't paying attention to the details that God had given them as far as serving Him and worshiping Him. And just to make a long story short, it was disastrous for Israel. They were defeated, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken from the people of God, and it was in the land of the Philistines for a period of time. And then later on, even as it left the land of the Philistines, it was not where it was supposed to be. Now in chapter 6, we have King David, and he has a desire for the ark to be back with the people of Israel. Remember, this was the place where God met with His people. So there was a plan devised to bring it back. And I want to read a little bit in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And again, looking at the question, does God care about details? Notice what happens here in 2 Samuel chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 1. It says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. Verse 3 says, and they set the ark upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Verse 5 says, David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Verse 8 says, David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And it says, David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? We'll stop right there, but I wanted to use this passage of Scripture because I think it answers the question, does God care about details? Well, what we have here is a situation. First of all, I want you to see here that David was very well-intentioned in what he was doing with the ark. David was sincere in trying to get the ark back to the city of God, back to the place where the tabernacle was, back to the place where God had dwelt with the people and met with the people many, many times. But I want to make this as clear as possible. David was sincere in wanting to do this, but the methods which he used were as wrong as they could be. Now, we won't go into great detail this morning, but you can go back in the Old Testament and you will see that God had specific details as far as how his people were to treat the ark, how his people were to approach him. And these details, they went into such depth that there was specific instruction on how they were to transport the ark. There was to be a particular people that were tasked with disassembling the tabernacle and the furniture of the tabernacle as they moved from one place to the other. And my friends, you will see that there was a specific way that the ark was to be moved. And it did not involve men putting their hands on it. And I'll say this, everyone that's involved in this moving project in 2 Samuel chapter 6, they were zealous. I believe that they desired to please God. They were concerned with the things of God. They were sincere. They were well-intentioned, but they did not pay attention to the details. And we see that Uzzah was doing, I think, what would come naturally if any of us were in that situation. They had the ark of God upon this cart, and they were even particular in the type of cart that they used, this new cart. And apparently they hit some sort of pothole or some sort of uneven area in the road, and he just put his hand up to steady this ark. Well, again, the only problem with it was God had given them instructions and details on how this ark was to be transported, and it wasn't like that. And you noted here that it says that the Lord's anger was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him, and he was taken out right there. And I think there's some significance in the response of David, and this speaks to our nature. I know it speaks to my nature. David was displeased about this. And the verbiage that's used in verse 8, it says that he was displeased because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah. It seems like here that David was almost blaming God for what happened here. He was angry, and then we see in verse 9, he was fearful, and David still at this point had not recognized or remembered, in his zeal, he did not remember that God gave details as far as the transporting of the ark. Now, later on, we see that David would have the ark transported in the proper way, and it would be brought back into Jerusalem, and it was a time of great celebration, a time of great joy, a time of great mirth, and that happened after the right thing was done. My friends, again, this illustration, this Old Testament story, does indeed remind us that God is concerned with details. Well, Brother Michael, will God strike us down today if we are not strictly obedient unto everything that He has said? As the New Testament church, should we walk around in fear and be fearful that what happened in the Old Testament time could happen to us today? No, my friends, I don't want you to walk around paralyzed in fear. But I do want to say that God has given us His Word. God has given us specific instruction as the New Testament church. He has given us particular teachings in the Bible as far as how we're to approach Him today, how we're to worship, how we're to interact with one another as we worship. And I believe that He's concerned with that. The God that knows the hairs on our head is concerned with how we approach Him. And I think that's critical in the days that we're living in. And I want us to look at some New Testament passages that speak to God being concerned with the details of our lives and how we serve and honor Him. First of all, in Matthew chapter 16, we have Jesus and His disciples on the coasts of Caesarea Philippi. And in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks His disciples a particular question. He asked them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse 14, it says, "They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Verse 15, He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I love this question that Jesus asks His disciples, because I think it gets to the heart of what we're looking at this morning as to whether or not God is concerned with us being concerned with the details about Him, because just the many ideas and many misguided notions about Jesus today, this says to me here in Matthew chapter 16 that even while Jesus walked about this earth, there was confusion about who He was. He asked those that were the closest to Him, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And notice the differing ideas here. Some thought that He was John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had been beheaded by this time, and apparently they thought, well, He was John the Baptist that had come back from the dead. Some thought He was Elias. I believe it's speaking here of Elijah. Some thought that Elijah was going to come back, and they thought, well, Jesus is the reincarnation, if you will, of Elijah. Or maybe He's the reincarnation of Jeremiah or some other prophet. This is interesting. To us today, this may seem absurd that people thought that Jesus was a reincarnation of some other historical figure or prophet, but these were the ideas that were out there. And Jesus finally asked them the question, "Whom do you say that I am?" Now, Peter was always very quick to speak. Sometimes he spoke to his detriment and put his foot in his mouth, but this time he answered correctly. Peter said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we see that Jesus says that He's blessed, and flesh and blood had not revealed that to Him, but His Father in heaven. And we see he gives that wonderful statement again in verse 18, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, Jesus wasn't saying that Peter was the rock that the church was going to be built upon, and the church today is not founded by Peter. It's founded by the rock, Jesus Christ. But the point I want to make here is that Jesus tells us that he is indeed the Son of Man, that he is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you were to do a man on the street today and ask individuals about Jesus Christ, you would get a plethora of answers from people about who they think Jesus is. Some would say, well, Jesus was just a historical figure that existed thousands of years ago, and he may or may not have been a good man. History Channel will say that Jesus is a great character in history that started this huge movement that endures even today, and he stirred up rebellion against the religious establishment of his day and against the government of his day. Some will say, well, he was a good man that did a lot of good things. Some will say, well, he's just been blown up as the years have gone by, and he's really nothing more than almost a sci-fi type of character. And even in Christian circles, sometimes people will say, well, Jesus was a good man that tried to accomplish salvation for his people, but he didn't get the job done. Or he got the job partway done. Again, think of the philosophy of the day, relativism, that says that everybody has a unique perspective on morality and on truth and on history, and nobody's really wrong. My friends, I want you to understand that there is absolute truth out there, and Jesus was saying here that there is absolute truth regarding me. Again, he asks, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter understood that our Lord was concerned with how we approached him, what we thought of him, and Peter rightly says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus wasn't merely a good man. He wasn't merely a major player in history. He is and was and will be the Christ, the Son of the living God. It matters what we understand about Jesus. He is the one that was the Son of God that came down into this world and did what we were unable to do, my friends, and that was to fulfill the righteous law of God, to pay the sin debt of man. It matters what we believe concerning Jesus. He is the Messiah and is the Redeemer. If we believe anything less than that, we're going to think, my friends, that we have something to do with our deliverance and with our salvation. And everything else that we believe concerning God and concerning His church hinges on what we think about Jesus Christ, whether or not we believe what the Bible says. Oh, I can have all kinds of thoughts and ideas about Jesus, but if they don't square with the Word of God, it's going to affect everything else in our service to God. Again, Jesus says to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. We need to be concerned with what God wants us to know and what God wants us to understand. And my friends, if you are born again by the Spirit of God, you have that Spirit that dwells within you, that as you read and study God's Word, we should constantly desire and pray that we would understand the details that He wants us to know. And again, what He says to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That should clue us in to the importance of the details that our God has given us. If we have a misguided and false notion of Jesus Christ, it's going to affect everything else in our lives, my friends. It affects our worship. It affects our view of the church. And I think that maybe so many people have a low view of the church today and don't see it as important, or perhaps see it as optional, or something that is to be done after everything else in our lives. Perhaps many of us have that view because we don't understand the person and the work and the nature of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Now, as I said earlier, I don't think God is, in the New Testament times, is going to strike us down and destroy us like He did Uzzah. But my friends, if we are not concerned with the details of God's word, it's going to affect our lives. You know, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Our view of Jesus is going to affect every other area of our lives. If we think that he was just a good man, that's going to affect how we move forward. That's going to affect how we trust him in times of difficulties, how we trust his word. We need to understand that the details of Jesus Christ are important. He was verily God. He was God that came down, that left heaven's immortal glory to come into this world and do what we were unable to do, my friends, and that is to fulfill the perfect law of God. He fulfilled, the Bible says, the law of God, the word of God, if you will, to a jot and to a tittle. And we need to understand, as far as details, that while he was here in this world, there was a purpose, and that purpose was to, again, to live a righteous law, but then to die to save us, his people, from our sins. He hung upon that cross, my friends, for us. He was not merely a good man. You see, if we believe in the notion that Jesus was just a good man, what he said does not remain consistent. Here, he was claiming to be the Son of God. Here in this passage, he was saying that I am the Son of Man. My friends, if he was not the Son of God, he was a deceiver and a liar, or he was at the very best, very deluded and mentally unstable. No, the details is that he was God. Well, he still is God, but he came down into this world to fulfill the righteous law of his Father, and to lay down his life for our sins. You see, my friends, we can be moral relativists all day long, but our God is a God of absolutes, and all of us, the Bible says, has sinned and come short of the glory of God. We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. We needed someone to stand in our place, and Jesus was the one who did that. The Christ, the Son of the living God. My friends, details matter. And as far as the worship of God, details matter. If we don't get those things right, we're going to be tossed about here in this world. We're going to suffer undue anxiety and stress and every trouble that comes before us. It's going to knock us down. But we serve the God of heaven. We serve the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And that's the foundation. That's the worldview that we're to have. Let's put away this relativistic philosophy that says there's no absolute truth, no absolute right or wrong. There's no absolute way to worship God. Yes, there is, my friends. And it starts with understanding that we serve the Christ, the Son of the living God. My friends, that if we allow that to permeate our hearts and our minds as God's children, it will positively impact every other area of our lives. Our worship, how we treat one another, how we treat our families, it's important, my friends. Time has gotten away from me this morning, but again, invite you to come and worship with us this morning at 10:30. We would love to have you. For more information, you can go on the internet to mcclenneypbc.com and get details as far as our worship times and our worship services, or visit our Facebook page at McClenney Primitive Baptist Church. We love you all and hope that you have a wonderful day. God bless.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenney Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclenneypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.